He is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There is truth. Amidst the confusion of this world, there is truth, real, cold, hard truth. It doesn't change, or else it would not be the truth. Or at least it would not be a truth worth holding on to. Feelings do not determine what is true. Even if a husband is not head over heels over his wife, she is still his wife, and he is to cherish her and give himself to her fully and completely at all times. Social acceptance doesn't determine the truth either. The truth spans cultures and generations. The truth is eternal, immovable, unchanging, everlasting. We can ignore it, but only for a time. We can act like we are judges of what is true and good and right, but finally we must give way to the judge of all. The truth is found in Christ. And not just spiritual and religious truth, but all truth, even everyday practical truth, is found in Christ. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Caiaphas spoke the truth. He didn't know it, but he advised the Jews that it would be good, beneficial, profitable, expedient if one man were to die for the people. Our Lord uses those same words. It is for your good. It is profitable, beneficial. It is for your good that I go away. Caiaphas could only think of the immediate, but our Lord saw the big picture. There is only one Savior, and salvation is accomplished in only one way. It is ugly, it is gruesome, it is bloody, and yet it is good. It is profitable. It is beneficial. Gone are the sins of the whole world, of every man, woman, and child, for Christ has shouldered them by his cross. It is good that he went back to his Father in death, so that he might redeem mankind from this empty way of life. So this is the truth. The whole world is reconciled to God in Christ. So don't let his death cause you grief or sadness. You did not force him to go to that tree. He willingly went. You did not make him take your sins. He made them his own. So rejoice and be glad. This is the marvelous thing our Lord has done. Sing a new song. Here is your joy and your delight. Don't let this message of this cross become a bore to you, because you have heard it hundreds and hundreds of times before. But rejoice that what was true yesterday is still true today, and it will still be true tomorrow. Do not search for some deep hidden truth, but hang on to that simple truth. God is your Savior. It bears repeating, for that message truly is astounding. God is your Savior. God is your crucified and risen Savior who loves you more than he loves himself. He is a compassionate, merciful, gracious, loving, giving, forgiving God. He has no anger, no wrath, no vengeance. He will never punish you. Even when you make a mistake and sin, he will never punish you, not even on this earth. He will never get you back or make you make up for it. For Jesus spoke the truth from that tree. It is finished. All punishment has been paid for, and that includes temporal punishment as well. Remove the cross, and you remove God's love, his mercy, his grace, and his compassion. Or better, if you remove Jesus, you remove the God who saves. And so it is good that Jesus went back to the Father, so that he might now fill you with his Holy Spirit. The Spirit takes from Christ, and he gives it to you. He's the Spirit of truth, and he has come to convict the world. Now, no one likes to be told that they are wrong. They don't mind a little advice or direction or guidance, but they don't want to be told that they are wrong. And yet the Spirit comes to do just that. Men would much rather follow in the footsteps of Adam and create their own truth rather than to submit to this Spirit. But a man in a dark room cannot describe that room. So also sinners sitting in the darkness of sin cannot describe the truth. They will always get it wrong. They may come close, but they will still always get it wrong. They will always decide to sin. The Spirit must convict them. The Spirit must convict us. And the Spirit convicts us through the law. The law is good. It's not the law's problem that we turn out to be sinners. The law condemns because we are bad. It is not pleasant or easy to hear, but the Spirit speaks the truth. Daily he exposes our rotten flesh and reveals that parasite of sin still latched onto our very souls. It still leads us away from God. It still pops up in us, causing us to sin. We want to be perfect. We want to be free from sin. We want to love our spouse even as Christ has shown his great love to us. We want to be good and kind and caring and compassionate at all times. But who of us has finally got it right? Who of us finally did enough this week? Who of us finally loves as Christ loves us? It hurts to hear the truth. And the Spirit comes to expose just what we are as he speaks the truth. We are sinners. We are still ugly, disgusting, worthless sinners who roll our eyes at our parents, who mock our teachers, who think we are more wise than the politicians, more loving and caring than our spouse shows us, more generous, more devout, more pious than those other members. And we are more humble than most. How arrogant we are that we take pride in our humility. We have such a crooked view of ourselves. And it would only get worse if it were not for this Spirit. The Spirit convicts us. He speaks the truth, and it hurts. It hurts to hear, it hurts to say, but we must say it, we must hear it. So how can we ever grow bored with that message of Christ crucified for us? How can we ever grow dull to that message that Christ is risen so that we might be forgiven? It happens because we forget what we are. It happens because we forget that we still have a very great need. We need Christ, we need his forgiveness, not just for those big sins, but we need Christ and his forgiveness today. Because this past week was not all that good. We need his forgiveness now, or else we would be lost forever. So the Spirit comes to convict us as we confess we are still sinners. And then he reveals the light of the cross and shows us that we are also saints of God, washed in the blood of Christ. For the Spirit has taken from Christ and has given it to you. He has taken that death of Christ and given it to you. You cannot go to Calvary. Even if you've been to Jerusalem and toured the Holy Land and seen the place where supposedly Jesus was crucified, that is not going to Calvary. But Calvary happened 2,000 years ago. And so the Spirit takes the historical death and resurrection of Christ and gathers all the gifts and blessings and benefits, and he wraps it all in water, and then he pours it over you. There is Calvary. There in the font is Christ's death. There in the font is Christ's resurrection, for there is Jesus. Calvary is no longer at Jerusalem, but it is here before you today. Here is the death of Christ for you, for your forgiveness. And then the truth about you is revealed. A mingling of blood and water flows from his side so that God might declare you holy and righteous. The truth is, you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. You have died to sin and have been raised with Christ. You have died to the ways of this world and now live for heaven. You have died to this world and all that is in it, and live for the joys and blessings of heaven. You are perfect as Christ is perfect. You are holy as Christ is holy. You are good as Christ is good. You are loving as Christ is loving. For the Spirit has taken these blessings from Christ and has given them to you. He makes them yours. So the truth about you is so simple. You are saints of God forever. And you see it. You see that you are saints of God, heirs of heaven, and co-heirs with Christ. You see it because the Spirit has shined the light of the gospel into you through His Word. And it is much easier to see when you walk around in the light. The light is the gospel. Your eyes are faith. And so, carried along by the Holy Spirit, men wrote those holy scriptures so that you might know the truth about your God and who He truly is. God is your Savior. So that you might know the truth about all that He has done for you, God is your crucified, risen Savior. So that you might know the truth about yourself, that you are saints of God, forgiven, redeemed, restored, justified, reconciled, sanctified before God, now and forever. Apart from the Holy Spirit, no one can come to Christ. Apart from the Holy Spirit, no one can believe in Christ. No one can remain in this faith. No one can persevere in good works. No one can overcome any evil or sin or anything else. And the only way the Holy Spirit comes to you is through baptism, the Word, and the Supper. And so we busy ourselves with those things. We busy ourselves with those things because there is truth. There is Christ coming to forgive and strengthen and comfort us yet again. American Christianity has largely forgotten that. They kick out the Holy Spirit and insert themselves. So no longer do they need the Spirit to come to them in Holy Communion or the sacraments. But all they need is, so the sacraments are turned into things they do for God. The message of Christ crucified gives way to a message of godly living, of only godly living. There is a place to teach a life of sanctification. But when that is the only thing that is taught, well, the gospel forgotten, or the gospel assumed is the gospel forgotten. And here's the deceptive part about it. In their sermons, they may say nothing wrong or heretical. But how you live doesn't save you. How you live, the law, doesn't strengthen you to live in accordance with that law. How you live will not get you into heaven. And so all they do focuses and centers on their works for God. It is all colored by what they do rather than what God does. Because they don't see that they still have a great need for forgiveness. Only God's work for you can save you. Only His cross can save you. And only the Spirit will bring that cross to you in word and sacrament. So each sermon is to be colored by that cross. Each hymn, each response, each ceremony is to be colored by that cross. Every movement of our body, from the way we dress to how we act and when we stand and sit and kneel, is all colored by the cross. That is, it is colored by the fact that God is truly present here to forgive me. It is about what He does for us. And through those external means of word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit continues to work inside of you. He works inside of you to crush your stony heart and to give you a new heart that loves what God loves and desires to live as God requires. He fills you with Himself. He doesn't just give you blessings and grace, but He fills you with Himself. And where He is, there Christ also is present. So He fills you body and soul with Christ Himself. so that all that Christ is, you also may be. The Spirit takes from Christ and he gives it to you. That message doesn't change, or else your salvation would change. For there is nothing more practical, more necessary, more beneficial to you than to hear once again that you have a God who has saved you. That is the simple truth. Christ died for you. It is your joy and your delight. It is why we sing. It is why heaven itself sings. It is why we have gathered here in this space yet again, because we see that we still have a great need. We still need help. We still are sinners. And yet in that cross, the Spirit shows that we are also still saints of God, regardless of what we have done. For it is by grace. It is by grace that God declares us saints. Yet again, dear friends, we go to the wells of salvation and dip in the holy wounds of Christ. Yet again, the Spirit takes from Christ and gives it to us. Yet again, he brings Calvary to us. Yet again, he unites us to Jesus' death and resurrection. Yet again, we hear of God's eternal abiding love, which will never change. Yet again, we hear that we are forgiven by grace. And it bears repeating, not just once or twice, but let it dance around in your minds day after day. God is your Savior. You are forgiven by grace. He is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.